Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO, what is the best streaming service out there? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is a show where we talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, Batmans, Halos, streaming services. My name is DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. And today, we have a very special guest, Mr. Lon Harris. Lon, say hi to the kids at home.
Hey, everybody at home. How's it going?
For those that don't know, who are you? Where can they find you? What are you up to?
I'm Lon. I write for Honest Trailers. You can watch all of our stuff over at Screen Junkies, Fandom Entertainment. I do the Binge Boys podcast. That's me and Hal Rudnick. We also talk about whatever we're watching on any of the big streaming services. And you can find me on Twitter at LONS. That's a great place to look.
And also for those watching the video or watching live, you have a special boy in your lap.
Oh, I have Taco. Taco the dog is here with me. There he is.
Oh, he's shy.
I think you have to start telling everybody that, because when I came on, I want you to know this is what it looked like.
I couldn't see at all.
And I was like, what promiscuous stuff is Lon up to? And then the dog's head popped up.
I'll tell you what happens. It's that I live alone, just me and Taco here in the apartment. So if I am speaking aloud, nine times out of 10, it is to him, yeah. Right? or to myself, and I'm having a moment. But so when I start talking on podcasts sometimes or shows like this, he comes around like, what, what's going on?
What's happening?
Going on a walk? What's going on? So I give him a moment or two.
I think it's beautiful. I just think it's an announcement to be made, you know?
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So for those that, speaking of watching this live, for those that want to get these episodes early, you want to watch them live, you want to get special shows like Spider-Versity or What We're Into, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. If you listen to this on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. We will read those on the air. We love them, please, and thank you. If you watch this on Spotify, we ask a question every week. Last week's question was, which Defenders should get new seasons on Disney Plus? Ray Alvarez said Heroes for Hire to course correct the Cage and Fist issues. Daredevil season 4, Punisher and Jones had amazing shows, but I can't picture a Disney version of either. Just have them pop into other shows. Just a side note on that, I read the new Punisher comic where they're trying to like change the image to distance it from all the fascist stuff in America, and so far it's a rocky road. Anyway, Stormy Wood says, I love Jessica Jones, so I want more of her. I'm with Roxy and wanting Kristen Ritter to play Jessica. Really loved having Winston on the show. Winston, our guest last week, he was fantastic. Elaine Baltazar says, Colleen Wing and Misty Knight should get their own series, Daughters of the Dragon, with a Shang-Chi cameo. Lon, is there any particular Defenders character you'd like to see get a new season on Disney Plus?
I've said this on somebody's show before. I think my pitch would be, I thought the Defenders team up season was underwhelming when they did it for Netflix, but I feel like this world is a show. Like, yeah. I would do a show and it's all the Netflix street level characters. I mean, everybody who wants to come back, I bet there'd probably be a few people they couldn't get back. Everybody who's alive from that world who wants to come back and figure out a way to do a, this version of Marvel's New York show. And I think we're at the point now where you could almost integrate that with some of the MCU shows that we've seen. So like after Echo, and like now that we've done Hawkeye and Echo and like those street level MCU series, I think it's like the perfect lead into this whole MCU street level world that we could now develop. That's what I would do with
that. That makes a lot of sense, because especially since we talked about last episode how like somebody like Mike Coulter, he's on Evil, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Luke Cage shape, but it's like maybe you could get him for a couple episodes of this Defenders show.
Exactly. Or like Charlie Kyle, like all of those guys, like you might not be able to lock them in, or like or even just we've got 8 new episodes of like a Misty Knight story we want to tell. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's like we've got some cool stuff we want to do. I mean, Colleen Wing is in a really, I did not like that Iron Fist series, but it leaves Colleen Wing. She's the new Iron Fist at the end of the series.
Yeah. I think we can all agree Colleen Wing was the highlight of that show.
Yeah. So stuff like with her and Misty Knight and figuring out a way to bring Coulter back for a few episodes and figuring out a way to get Kristen Ritter in the mix a little bit. Like now you're talking, like now this is a show I would watch. even though individually bringing back those Netflix shows is not maybe the most exciting thing for me.
Also, I already mentioned Spider-Verse on Patreon. I'd also like to shout out our producers. There's a producer tier on Patreon, $25 and up. We've got Ash, Caitlin, Dylan, and Kevin. Those are some of our producers on the show. They also get to decide certain topics we're going to cover. We're starting soon. They're going to get to decide what I'm into certain weeks. They're going to make me watch stuff. So if you want to participate,
it's a lot of power.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. If you would like to participate on that, you can check that out on Patreon. Maybe you're already on Patreon. Maybe you want to go to a higher tier, be more
involved. Make him watch F-Boy Island.
Exactly. You can make me watch Bachelor. You can make me watch F-Boy Island. You can make me watch Euphoria. That'd be a fun one. We'll get into all of that. But before we go any further, before we dive into our main topic with today, which is going to be the streaming wars, Juan mentioned he co-hosts Binge Boys, so I figured we're talking about streaming because this came up, Lon, just so you know, we mentioned at the top, I took the dive on Paramount Plus because of Halo. Sure. Also, yeah. Jackass Forever is on there, and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Also, Scream 5, they put up, or just... Scream,
sure. It's Scream 5. Scream 5.
I disapprove of calling it. There's already a movie called Scream. This is confusing, but yeah,
don't do it.
Scream 5, however you prefer. That's now also on Paramount.
So I did that. I've started watching because I got like a free 3 months for Apple TV Plus. I started watching that. Severance is amazing. It's so fucking good. Finally caught up on that show. So I'm now at a point where it feels like I'm going to have to start making decisions for which services I can or cannot keep.
Sure.
So that was impetus for that. That's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, some news. Obviously, we're going to talk about, you know, let's do that first, because who knows how long this part of the conversation is going to take us. Let's start with the deleted scene that dropped yesterday for The Batman featuring Barry Keoghan as Joker. He made a brief cameo in The Batman, which I would argue is my least favorite scene in that movie. But now we get even more. And Roxy, let's start with you.
Folks love Joker. Listen. They can't get enough.
Joker puts it butts Joker in the seats, all right?
He's like the Poochie of Gotham. Every time Joker's not on screen, everybody's like, where's Joker?
What are we doing? Roxy, let's start with you. What did you think of this scene? Period. That's the question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, maybe one of you guys can help me out with this. When I call him Barry Keoghan, everybody yells at me and says it's Keoghan. When I call him Barry Keoghan, everybody says it's Keoghan. So
I'm pretty sure it's Keoghan. My usual rule of thumb with Irish names is it's like you're overthinking it. Like, okay. You know that there's an Oscar nominee for supporting actor for Belfast this year. He played Mance Rayder on Game of Thrones. It's just Kieran Hines.
Yeah.
You see that first name and you're like, there's an accent mark and a C that shouldn't be there. And it like, it's very perplexing. And it's just like, just Kieran, just say Kieran. Kieran. So it's in this case, I think it's the same. It looks like it's Barry Keoghan or something medieval. It's
just, you made him a wrestler, I feel like.
Yeah. It's also like I just remember when I found out it was Saoirse Ronan, I'm like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Saoirse like inertia. That's her rule. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Barry.
Okay. So I'm just going to call Keoghan. My boy B.
BK. I think BK is fine in this instance.
You're not immediately picturing Burger King?
I am, but hey, why not?
Why not?
Not too shabby. I think that I actually thought the scene was fine. I know that that's a lackluster answer, but I thought it had pros and cons. I think that the pros are that they're doing a really fun job on that website that was at the end of the movie, releasing things every once in a while, keeping the Batman love and lore alive, saying, here's what we're doing with this comic book. There's this deleted scene. Come check in. We have a whole new world. We're doing two different shows. You know, I feel like it is really becoming its own corner of the DC universe.
Yeah.
And that's fun for me. And probably for you guys too. That's cool. I did not one ounce of me walked out of the Batman and was like, you know what I wish we had was more Joker in that movie. Why didn't they give us more Joker? Mm-hmm. And so I feel a little bit like a guinea pig right now. I feel like Warner Brothers DC I think that they're reading us and they're showing the scene, and then they are taking their phones and hitting refresh, 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 mm-hmm. refresh, and looking at what we are. And maybe that's giving us too much credit, but I think not us as in the three of us as in the people.
Yeah.
I think that they're trying to see, do you guys want, despite Matt Reeves saying this doesn't mean that he's going to be the big bad. Do you guys want more Joker? Do you like BK? Yeah. Are you super into this? Are you not? This is just a fun thing. We're just throwing spaghetti at the wall. Is this one sticking? And I don't feel like that's a good way to decide who's going to be in your movies.
Yeah, I agree with you, Roxy. I sincerely doubt. I know they're like, it's a deleted scene. There's no way this was ever intended to be in the movie. This was specifically to be like a little like drop later, part of the URL thing. And also, I don't know why it took me this long until you were talking, Roxy, to realize like, oh, Arkham show. It's going to be a Joker show. That's what this is. There, and that's why it's Barry Keoghan and not perhaps a more expensive actor. It's the Arkham show is a Joker show on HBO Max. That's what they're trying to do. I think
so. That's very in flux though, because that was until very recently going to be a Gotham PD show.
Yeah.
And then they were like, nah, Terrence Winter, get out of here. We don't like that idea anymore. Yeah. And so I think probably Roxy's right on that. My guess would be this is a feeler for how much do people love this take? Do people love it enough that we should make it a centerpiece of this TV show? Do people like it enough that we should make this the main, the Batman, the Returns plot threat? Like what, you know, like I think this is
the
moment
where.
Did you just
make that up, Lon? Or is that what it's called?
No, the Batman, the Returns.
I'm kidding that it's the Batman, the Returns. My God.
That would be so up. Fucking That's funny. Not. The Batman, the Returns. I love it. I make it happen.
That's my own pitch. But, yeah, I think this is that like, you know, this is Kevin Feige. This is MCU 101. This is what these guys do. Yeah. They put this stuff out there. They see what kind of reaction it gets from social media. And that informs their decision making, you know, on these next projects and what avenues to pursue. So I definitely think you're probably not wrong that they would be willing to do that. I just think they're going to see what kind of reaction this gets. As for me, like I thought. It's fine. I like it as a scene. I like Barry Keoghan as an actor. I think this is like, it's good casting. It's a cool sequence. I got to admit at this point, I'm ready for a different, I feel like we've gotten only gutter Joker since Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger made such a dent, an impact in the public's perception of this character that we've kind of been in this mode and like interesting different takes on this one mode of like, what if Joker was like disgusting and from the street and like, you know, not like ignoring every social taboo mm-hmm. and, you know, and I'm like, I'm ready for like guy in an immaculate purple suit with acid seltzer. And yeah. Like, I'm ready for like, let's go wildly different with the Joker, you know,
you
like
called Jared Leto gutter guy from the street.
He is still like, it's a different variation on that. Like he's more like, what if that guy was an enforcer for a cartel? But it's not like a gentleman. It's not the clown prince of crime. It's not like a guy who actually is amused by himself as the Joker. It's just like a guy who cackles and looks like he will probably shoot you.
Yeah. I thought that this version of BK was, or of the Joker was a little bit different, not enough for me to know for sure because we're looking at him through glass, but yeah. I did. The thing I did like about this actual scene is that I do like knowing that in year one, there were struggles. Batman sent Joker here.
Yeah.
I like the 1 year anniversary. Oh, so this is just paper. I like that they are always from day one, since there was Batman, there was Joker. I do like that. I don't know that I would like as much a buttoned up, not an Arkham suit wearing gent. But in this world that we made, because against emo Bat, mm-hmm. I know people don't like when I call him that, but he is emo Bat. Against him, I don't know that matches as much because Bat, we're going to have like Robert Pattinson guyliner situation, like, and then he's going against somebody who's like all suit wearing. And
I get what you're saying. It's maybe not a great fit for this Gotham, but again, like that's just my general take. Like I feel like I'm, and I don't hold this against the Matt Reeves movie, but I'm just like, we've gotten so many of these kinds of like, it's gritty, it's dark, it's like a more realistic, you know, and I'm just like, I'm ready for other versions of these characters. So that's like my takeaway when I see this scene is like, oh, okay, we're kind of doing this again. And it's like, it's fine. It's good for what it is. I'm just like, I'm ready for a new take. I do like the idea of we're coming into a Gotham that is already Gotham. Like for a long time, we got caught in that idea of like anything new, you have to like show the origin. So like, we can't just have Poison Ivy. We got to be like, how did Dr. Pamela Isley become plant lady? And how did Victor Freeze get cold and in this suit? And it's like, I don't care. Yeah. I like the idea of they're just in Arkham. They're just criminals already. This whole world is ongoing.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear origins for these characters I've known about for my entire life.
Well, and I think maybe we're hitting on something that could work with this Joker is like, let's say Matt Reeves is doing a trilogy because that's how we've been kind of conditioned to think about these movies. If Joker is always the Hannibal Lecter of those movies, he's never the big bad. He's just in Arkham yucking it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's just there. We took care of him. And he's around because you can't do a Batman thing without him being around or at least mentioned. I'm fine. Like we've established at this point, like Roxy was saying, year one, Joker was a thing. Now he's in Arkham. I'm fine if we never reference again for the rest of the movie. Joker exists in this universe and we're moving on. It's fine. But to Lon's point, I do think it's so tough when you've got such a influential take as Heath Ledger's, and beyond that Mark Hamill's, and before that Jack Nicholson. It's hard to do something. It's hard to compete with that, and it's hard to do something really different with that. I think because of Atlanta coming out, I was thinking like, yeah, what would you do that would be like different? And it's like, yeah, maybe let Donald Glover do like a Teddy Perkins, you know what I mean? Like Lakeith Stanfield has said he wants to be Joker, let him take a crack at it, you know what I mean? Because it's I like this scene on paper. I kind of like the interaction there. I like Robert Pattinson in this scene a lot. I think he did really good work. I just don't know. I think like Lon, this reminded me too much of all the like Heath Ledger knockoffs we've gotten since then. It's like, yeah, I mean, we get it. Like,
it's also, this is now the second scene in as many years of Batman going to the Joker for help. Cause we also had it, the Justice League, where Batman, for whatever reason, has chosen the Joker as a member of his post-apocalyptic, like shock troop squad or whatever, which like, obviously you would never like it's hard enough for me to believe Batman going to Arkham to get the Joker's help, even advice wise, let alone, hey, let me give you a gun and come along and join me in my mercenary group. But is it just like, it's just not a very natural scenario. Like I get that the Hannibal Lecter Silence of the Lambs things is like a fun trope that would be fun to do, but it's just like, it's strange credulity that Batman would be like, hey, can you help me out here? I don't understand.
100%.
I'm the greatest detective, but I can't solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
What do you think, clown guy?
And it also raises questions of like, what was Joker's bit that Batman thinks like...
Yeah, like, he's going to help me solve this puzzle. Yeah.
And also between for me, and I feel like people are going to disagree with this, but for me, I thought Riddler himself was one of the weaker parts of the Batman. And with this and this scene and the stuff with Riddler, it's like, yeah, maybe next movie do Mr. Freeze. I don't know, like Matt Reeves, I don't know if you have a really compelling handle on the whole serial killer thing. Do something different than this, you know?
Who's your Mr. Freeze? Who would you cast as Mr.
I honestly have no fucking idea. You know the one that came to me, and this would this would probably be bad. I actually thought of Vin Diesel.
I like that just because it's kind of a shout out to Batman and Robin. It's like we pick the big, you know, mook action star to be Mr. Freeze.
It is kind of like that, but I think probably what it is, and this isn't a good reason to cast anybody, but like the voice, like I always picture Mr. Freeze as kind of have an authoritative, and so I guess I'm picturing like Iron Giant Vin Diesel, where like
he's like a scientist. He's like a
that
genius,
is a fantastic point. That is an incredibly good point. I know what am I blanking?
Mark Strong.
Not Mark Strong, although also good. Good. I'm so embarrassed right now. Inglourious Bastards, Django Unchained.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz.
I've seen a lot of people throwing Christoph Waltz out there.
Yeah. Did you say, I'm so embarrassed?
I feel like Christoph Waltz is something I should be able to pull.
How dare I, after a 2-year pandemic, forget somebody's name of a person I've never met? How dare I? So embarrassed.
Yeah. What about you, Lon?
I proposed the question and I didn't have a good answer in the chamber.
Yeah. I saw Giancarlo Esposito being.
That's good. Yeah. Anybody who's got that, like removed, like unemotional, like this is just look. I got this experiment and it's got to get done. And this is the only, as long as you've got that detached sort of.
Yeah, but it can somehow convey tragedy through that sort of detachment. Right. You know what I mean? Anyway. So those are our thoughts on the Batman clip. We're going to go to a quick ad break, and then we will be back to talk about streaming services and stuff. All right. We are back. Hello, everybody.
All right.
We are back, and I want to get into streaming services, but real quick, I felt like I'd be remiss if we didn't briefly talk about news-wise. There's a new Voltron movie coming out, being directed by the director of Red Notice, Ross and Marshall Thurber, who, by the way, also did Dodgeball. So I don't completely dislike his.
He did Dodgeball, but then he did he did do two films with The Rock, Skyscraper, and then Central Intelligence. And Central Intelligence, I think, is a key. What we've started to call at Screen Junkies proto Red Notice. Like you can see the films that kind of led to the creation of what we're now calling the Red Notice genre.
Yeah.
And Central Intelligence was a key one. So that was really one. That was where Dwayne and Ross and obviously were like figuring out this formula that they were going to keep going back.
I'm trying to think about, or the term I'm looking for being is I want to say like something that's like a mixed blessing. Being The Rock's go-to director is kind of a mixed blessing, right? Because on the one hand, you get to work with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, probably the biggest celebrity in the world, but also you're kind of like damned to your movies being middling to bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating question of like, why are these movies kind of like flattening out? You know, like what, like I think everybody can detect on some level that there's like a sameness to a lot of these kinds of like movie action comedy vehicles that come out from guys like The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. And it's just like they kind of all start to look the same and they all have that kind of same like vibe and tone and sensibility. And so, yeah, I mean, like you get to keep making big movies every year if you're working with these guys. But I mean, I would say like a Sean Levy, who's like Ryan Reynolds' go-to guy now.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. You're not really making these idiosyncratic personal things anymore. You're making the next Ryan Reynolds movie.
Yeah.
And we all kind of know what that's going to be, even when you just say there's going to be a next Ryan Reynolds movie before you even see it.
Yes.
I have to assume some directors love that and don't care about making the movie they love. Being part of a Rock movie almost guarantees that you're part of something successful.
Not only that, but it's a job. It's a good paying job. It's a job.
I mean, I think like any creative endeavor, there are people who are motivated to do it for all sorts of reasons. Some people are in it for the art. Some people are in it for the prestige.
Yeah.
Some people are in it for the money. And like, I think, that's fine. And certainly the money is better on that side doing those kinds of films than it would be, you know, making something that's more personal that maybe you'll get a chance to bring to a festival, you know?
and so do you think
there's going to be 4 or 5 big Rock movies every year too?
Yes.
You know, like that's work. That's guaranteed work.
Do you think Voltron will be a Red Notice? Cause on paper, it feels like it shouldn't be a Red Notice.
I mean, we're still in the early days of to define our terms.
Yeah.
To me, a Red Notice, it's a genre. That's the first thing that's most important. It's not a criticism. If I say a movie is a Red Notice, that doesn't mean I think it's bad. I did not like the movie Red Notice. But you could be a, like, I thought Free Guy, it's a definite red notice. Yeah. Well, a fun movie. I didn't mind it at all.
Perfectly
like,
fine.
It does not, saying it's a red notice doesn't mean I think it's going to suck, is what I want to get across. But so when I say a red notice, I mean, it kind of straddles a bunch of different genres. There's comedy, there's action. It's kind of also an adventure, like a globe-trotting adventure kind of deal, and caper. So you get these movies where bunch of different locations, usually like 3 to 5 celebrity cast members. They're on this international, they've got to go to a few different locations. They've got a couple mini missions, like a heist or a robbery, or, you know, like a few tasks they've got to do. There's a lot of like banter, quippy, but not a lot of like comic situations, like extended comic set pieces. There's a lot of like slap fights or like chases, but not a lot of like committed action set pieces. And there's other stuff too, but that's kind of the core idea. So stuff like Jungle Cruise, Uncharted, Free Guy. I mean, obviously Red Notice. a good rule of thumb, if you're like a half hour into the movie and you're like, this is kind of funny and there's been a little bit of action and we're on like our fourth world city, that's like a good sign you're watching Red Notice. Also, if the characters go to a fancy ball or benefit and they all have to wear formal wear, that's a dead giveaway.
That it's like, a Red Notice.
Gossip Girl, you know?
Gossip Girl, right. Well, that had more action and comedy than yes. But like the moment I saw the Uncharted trailer and there was that scene where Wahlberg's in the tux and Holland is the bartender at that big fancy party.
Yeah.
I was like, this is 100% a red notice.
So what I'm hearing is a red notice is kind of everything and nothing. Like I'm trying to tap into that feeling of like,
And I mean, if you think about why this is happening, it's because, you know, movies have to be very broad. They have to play to huge, broad audiences. They have to play around the world. You know, Netflix it was fascinating. I don't know if you read, I believe Rachel Schuchert is her name, the woman who was the showrunner on The Babysitter's Club, which was canceled despite glowing critical praise after 2 seasons. And what she said is the show was very popular in America where young women know what The Babysitter's Club is, but it wasn't growing huge in India or Malaysia or some of these other growing Netflix communities where they don't have the Babysitter's Club is not a meaningful IP to young people there.
Yeah.
And that's what Netflix is really searching for. They already know their audience in North America. If you're in America, you already have Netflix, or if you don't have it by now, you're probably not ever going to sign. At this point, how much of that audience is left? They're focused on these emerging markets where they're newer and they haven't captured everybody yet. God. So stuff like The Babysitter's Club doesn't have that much appeal. And that's also why we're getting red notices, because if it's too specific, if it's got too many cultural references that only work for America, if it's wordplay, if it's more elaborate comic situations that are going to be more specific to American sensibilities, well, it's not going to play all around the world where they're trying to drive Netflix subscriptions.
That is bleak.
So it's got to be, you know, like, and if you go back and watch Red Notice, and again, I don't mean this to be like it's bad or you're stupid if you like it, or that people always read that stuff in, and I'm really not trying to make that argument. But there's a lot of like mugging. There's a lot of physical comedy. A lot of it is like the character's expression is the joke, because that's, you know, it's easier to translate all around the world to the broadest, from little kids to old people. Everybody finds a guy getting conked on the head funny. More elaborate wordplay or insightful jokes about things might not play.
The problem with that is obviously I don't necessarily need all my media to play to American sensibilities, but also I think for me at least, I think a core of good storytelling is specificity. and so that's a problem. If that's antithetical to your marketing scheme, it's like, what are we doing anyway? Yeah,
I mean, I think that the lesson of 2022 media is like, you got to find that stuff. Like, there is still stuff being made for more specific tastes and sensibilities, but it's not the big stuff that powers these huge platforms or that opens in theaters globally, you know? Like, those are the red notices, and then you got to seek out the worst person in the world's in the drive my cars to play to your particular sensibility.
Or, as we will talk, Roxy and I will discuss in what we're into, X. That movie came out
or
last week.
X. Sure, whatever.
Fucking good. Anyway, We're not talking about Red Notices today. We're talking about, well, actually, this is a perfect segue to what we're talking about.
Yeah. So that was, I was going to say Voltron. That all leads me back to Voltron. I feel like probably not a Red Notice because it's probably going to lean heavily into homage to the classic, like the stuff that makes Voltron feel like Voltron. Yeah,
it'll be like the classic Power Rangers movie that came out a couple years ago.
Exactly. Cool. And I feel like that already gives them enough of a genre and enough of a formula that it probably won't end up feeling a lot like a Red. Not that I think like an IP Red Notice is possible. In fact, I feel like there have been a couple MCU movies that are like we're probably within 2 or 3 years of an MCU Red Notice.
Hey,
like,
listen,
Shang-Chi and Black Widow are already like 80% there. They're almost there.
This is a perfect segue. Interestingly, this will be my segue. Interestingly, Netflix, despite that director working on Red Notice and them doing the animated Voltron series, which is very good, by the way. The new animated Voltron series is very good. This is probably not going to be on Netflix. Segue to...
No, Netflix is like not bidding. I think the ones they said are Warner Brothers, Universal, and Amazon so far are like leading the charge.
Sure. streaming services. Like I said at the top of the episode, part of what is motivating this is I've got now, as of this moment, I feel like I have too many streaming services. I was pretty proud of myself that I was down to like three, I guess it was four. My four were Netflix, HBO, Disney Plus, and Hulu, which in my brain, it's sometimes easy to loop in Hulu into the Disney of it all. And now I've got Paramount Plus, and I've got Peacock, and I've got Apple TV Plus, and some of those I have because of like promotions and shit for like free at the moment.
Sure.
But I feel like decisions are going to have to be made. And so we're talking about the streaming wars. Let me know if I'm missing something. Here's what I have is listed as the major streaming services. We have Netflix, we have HBO Max, we have Disney Plus, we have Hulu. Prime. I have Prime too. God damn it. Apple TV Plus, Paramount Plus, Peacock, Discovery Plus. Am I missing anything?
You said Disney Plus.
Yeah,
right?
I said Disney Plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there that like animation one?
There's Crunchyroll. We actually in the chat, in the Discord chat, Nathan the Man said we lost Funimation to Crunchyroll, one of the first casualty of the war. Right. So Crunchyroll's in there as well.
Well, I mean, a lot of basically Crunchyroll bought Funimation. So a lot of the Funimation catalog is going into Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
So really it's all if you were subscribed to both, it's a win because now you're
saving money,
consolidating your anime streaming services. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess just going into this, where do we think, like, who's winning right now? Who's losing? Roxy, let's start with you. How do you feel about the current state?
One thing I would throw out there, I do feel like you got to kind of put an asterisk next to Amazon Prime and what's the other one? And Apple.
Yeah.
Because those are, they're not trying to win. Like, they're not trying to get you to sign up so you watch their cool shows. Honestly, it's like an incentive to get you to sign up for Apple. They want you to buy a new Apple device and they'll give you TV Plus for free.
Yeah.
It's like a customer loyalty program. For Prime, they want you to buy the free shipping.
Yes.
It's like, if you also watch, a few of the shows, Reacher. Great. If not, right. If you do get into Big Man Solve Crime, terrific. If not, don't worry about it. So anyway, I think that's important to like, they're not ever going to be like the winners or losers because they're not really playing the game as everyone else.
Yeah, and it is a bummer too because like I wish Amazon didn't suck so hard because the Prime deal is like one of the best deals in town. Like that's, you know what I mean?
It's just, it adds a different layer. But I'm sorry, Roxy, I didn't mean to
say. Yeah, so Roxy, thoughts on, let's start with you, thoughts on the current state of streaming. How are you feeling about it? What services are your go-tos?
I have a really hard time answering this question because I also have every access to every, certainly don't pay for myself every, but access.
Do you have Discovery Plus? That's the only one I don't really have.
My brother does.
Oh, okay.
My brother does. Actually, my brother's wife does, but then that's my brother, which is me. I feel like every year it changes. I don't know, but maybe Lon rivals me, but I don't know anybody who watches as much television as I do. It's I actually have a list of full shows that I've watched this year. Like,
oh, I do that too. I also
you do that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Alon, where are you at right now?
Are we doing that? We finished, or are we including stuff that we're still going on?
Completely finished shows.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Okay, I'm currently at 31 full shows.
Whoa, that's a lot.
And so
I'm in progress on a bunch, but that's definitely taking.
Yep, I'm in progress on a bunch too. You know, I'm still in progress on Walking Dead. Thank you so much for.
Wow, you're still going on Walking Dead. Incredible, incredible effort.
It is truly incredible. Thank you.
I'm honestly proud of you.
Some might say I'm doing the apocalypse's work.
You're doing Negan's work.
Yeah, but there. So it's a lot. I am very alone, and I spend my time watching TV. So yeah, this is a very hard question for somebody like me, because I feel like rude to the streaming services that have given me so much that I'm about to kill off. But some of them just don't provide enough, and some of them provide movies that you could purchase elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, okay, probably my favorite streaming service right now is Apple TV Plus. Mm. I have become so completely obsessed with them because of the quality, not the quantity.
Yeah.
But then also, in addition to their shows, if you want to watch something like Coda, you have to have that service.
Yeah.
You've got to have it. And so because of their original movies, the way that they're programmed and the way that you can't usually find something elsewhere, and the quality of their TV shows, that one for me is like, if you had asked me last year, I would have been like, what? I don't care. And then they sent me an Apple TV because I was never intending getting Apple TV. And then I was like, shit. This is so much of my life that's going into this thing. Oh, it's so good. Oh, there's so many good shows here. So yeah, I think that I'm all over the place, but definitely that's a front runner for me. I'm still a big Netflix girl. I think DJ, you've fallen off of that a little bit though.
I'm trying to think. I don't spend as much time on, I spend a lot of time on HBO. A lot of their content is really great. I need to finish, I think it's the finale of Our Flag Means Death. Fantastic. Apple TV recently, because again, I got that 3-month free trial. So I'm like trying to, like, in case I decide to leave it, power through. But again, you know, Ted Lasso, Mythic Quest, Severance, it is taking
Apple TV Plus right now is having they just finished The After Party, which I thought was great. They've got Severance on right now, which is maybe the best show of the year.
Best show on TV.
It's hard. It's taking all of my strength to not let this derail into a Severance show, because I just want to talk about. I just caught up.
And watch, like, do you watch Lost Nights?
Yeah.
I'm all caught up. We can talk about. Servant.
It is the best show. It is the best show.
Servant season 3 just wrapped up and was incredible.
What's the other? We Crashed. Are you guys watching?
I was gonna say We Crashed, and like along with The Dropout, both like the best of Dropout. These like scammer startup shows.
But that's Hulu, right?
Where do the I Dropout watch that? Is Hulu. Okay. We Crashed is Apple TV Plus. Yeah. This is like a ridiculous run they're on right now of like incredibly good content that's like as good or better than any other streaming network is putting out.
And yeah. I thought Morning Show season 2 was so wildly perfect. I loved especially the last half of season 2, I thought was incredible. I keep harping on this with DJ. Schmigadoon.
Yeah, I love Schmigadoon. And I love Mythic Quest too. I love Mythic Quest.
Yeah.
Like they really, it's just like you said, and that this was what Tim Cook sort of initially came out when he was pitching TV Plus. It's like, it's not going to be the ridiculous torrent number of shows that like a Netflix is doing. They're not going to overwhelm you with so much content, but it's going to be curated. It's all going to be of a certain level of quality. They also have Pachinko, that new series debuting today that Kogonada directed. The guy who did After Yang and Columbus. Yeah. His new show
is on. It feels like when I loved HBO. And it was like everything that came out was a must watch for me. That's how I'm feeling about that.
And then HBO Max, like, they had that for a while. And now they've kind of diluted their brand with HBO Max, where they'll throw, you know, like just about anything on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Lon, how are you like, so I'm talking to two people, and I think you talked about asterisks. We should put an asterisk in that. watching and talking about these shows is our job. so we're in kind of a unique position where it doesn't like I'm talking about like having to lose things, and it's like, well, maybe not, because it is, I am supposed to talk about these things. So like, you know, how are you feeling?
I would definitely second Apple TV Plus, which, as I just said, like a lot of my favorite shows of the moment are over there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And if you're not watching Severance, like Yellow Jackets on Showtime is the only other thing this year that sort of rivaled it for me in terms of how much I liked it.
Yeah.
The other one I would really highlight is, I think that last year with the addition of the FX library, Hulu really took a big jump. Like Hulu was always like, there was some stuff I liked on Hulu. It always had some contenders and some good TV coming over. Like, you know, like it gets a lot of the network TV. It gets a lot of, you know, like sort of basic cable shows. It also has always gotten like, they get a pretty good crop of like indie films and foreign films. Like I noticed that's where, like, they just got that Romanian film, Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn, which was on a ton of critics' top 10 lists last year. Yeah. That's now streaming in the US on Hulu. Spencer now, and all those Neon movies now streaming in the US on Hulu. Like they get a lot of A24 stuff first. Like, so it's good for if you're like, you know, one level deeper movie fan. But then last year, now that FX shows either debuted directly on Hulu or come there the next day, so it's the place to see stuff like Fargo,
Atlanta.
Stuff like this, you know, like a lot of these new Under the Banner of Heaven, that John Krakauer adaptation with Andrew Garfield next month. Once you add in what the Hulu catalog already was, plus all these film acquisitions, plus the classic FX library and new FX shows, I think that's a pretty solid amount of content.
Yeah, if I want to rewatch The Shield or Justified or any of that shit, it's on fucking right. It's on all fucking Hulu. Yeah,
or not exclusive. A lot of those shows are in multiple places, but you know you can see them all.
Yep.
On Hulu, and a lot of those classic FX shows, like, they're still hold up and are great, or people miss them the first time. Yep. Like The Americans is a show I talk about all the time that a lot of people didn't watch it when it was on.
You and us both.
Yeah, all right.
It is like my life mission to get people. This is the best finale ever.
The whole final season is just like to go out on that level of a grace note and to have it all sort of figured out and pulled together. A remarkable show. Yeah. So like, that's a great show that if you never watched it, that's like Hulu in full. Go check it out.
Lon, do you ever feel like the show that people decide is their favorite show of the year, or they'll be like, this is the show to watch? Do you ever feel very defensive as an obsessed TV fan where you're just like all the people who are like, Station 11 is the best show of the year? And I was just like, y'all aren't watching enough TV.
I definitely have those moments where it's like when the one show comes out and everybody gets obsessed with it, it's like, that's it. This is the best show that's ever been. It's like, well, all right. Like, I know you haven't dug deeper.
What do you know about television?
I mean, you know what? I like this show. I'm going to mention the name of a show. It's very popular. I like it. I'm not saying it's bad. But when people tell me that Stranger Things is their favorite show, that to me is the red flag of like, you watched three shows last year. I get it. I understand.
It's so fun. It's a blast. I love it.
I'm not knocking Stranger Things. Totally. Who doesn't enjoy Stranger Things? I'm just saying, like, it's okay. It's fun. Not the best show.
Let's
step away from the brink of it.
Walk away from the Stranger.
So we're going to take another quick ad break, and then some harder choices are going to need to be made, because I'm going to make you guys pick which services you're gonna keep and which ones you're gonna get rid of.
You have to pick two, DJ.
I know, I will. Oh. But I'm also, that's self-inflicted at that point. What I mean? Okay. We'll be right back. Oh my goodness, we are back. And before I make you all pick your streaming services, we do have a question here from the Discord from Leonard Kim. Do you like when streaming services seem to have a set day for when they drop most, if not all, of their content? Disney Plus is Wednesday, Apple TV is Friday, Paramount Plus is Thursday, etc. Personally, I'd like varying drop days, as I'm more inclined to visit streaming services multiple times a week. I'd also like to add the addendum to that question of, do you prefer full season drop or like an episode a week? Roxy, let's start with you.
I have a really hard time with this first question because it is a nice way to try to store things in my brain a little bit. You know, like if I'm going to go to the Apple app And then it's Thursday at midnight when I watch the shows because they just drop. So I guess it's technically Friday. I like knocking out my shows at once. Mm-hmm. But then all week I'm like, no Apple shows. Mm-hmm. And that's my place right now. Yeah. So it's kind of double, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I do like that they have their one day, but I also want more greedy.
Yeah.
So that. And then in terms of whether I like them to all drop at once or every week, I like the Hulu, typical Hulu model of three at the top, then one a week.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Lon, what about you?
Yeah. I agree with Roxy that the three at once to get you sort of get you in, you know, like give you that taste so you want to come back for more, I think helps a lot. And I think that that's the downside of the traditional like one a week model is when you get, you know, like HBO or Apple where it's like, here's one episode, take it or leave it. Now wait a week to see if you want to come back for more. That is a bummer. Having said that, I feel like we now have a lot of evidence that if you drop them all at once and let people binge, it's fun and you'll get a lot of buzz for a weekend.
Yeah.
And then everybody forgets that your show exists for a full year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the downside of that, even as a viewer, is you go back a year later and you're like, what was the show? Like, I find that I barely even remember it. And the recaps usually don't do a very good job. The Witcher, I had this problem with recently where it's like, I really liked season one of The Witcher.
Same.
It was so long ago
yep.
that when I came back for season two, every single new person that would show up, I'd be like, do I know this person? Who the hell is? It's been so long.
Yeah.
So I think that it helps to spread it out just for that. But it also, I mean, we even just saw, not my favorite show of the year, but like even with The Gilded Age on HBO, doubled its audience over the course of season one. So by the end, there's so much more discussion. So many more people are watching. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't do it that way unless you were Netflix and you were just kind of locked into this binge model now. What was the other? There was a second question.
It was. Do you prefer if they have like a day, like Disney Plus has Wednesday? And
I don't really care that much. My only thing would be I wish they would, like so many of them do it at the end of the week. Like when Disney stopped doing Friday and switched to Wednesday, that was like amazing for me personally.
Yes.
Because I try to watch so many shows and it's so backloaded to the end of the week. I spend like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, working through all the shows that came out and then nothing to watch Monday through like Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so it'd be great if we would like everybody pick their own day and it was like spread out throughout the week.
Where are the Monday people?
Yeah, yeah. Like I would love some Monday twos, like Acorn TV, which is owned by AMC Networks and they bring over a lot of the British shows.
Okay.
They do their debuts on Monday. I don't subscribe to Acorn TV, so I don't get to benefit from this. But if you were really into like Murdoch mysteries, will show up on Mondays. I'd love another streamer to get into the Monday release.
You know what I care more about, DJ, that I feel like nobody, people are not.
Oh, I was going to bring this up, but yeah, I think we're on the same page. Go for it.
But it's about the time in which things are dropping. This is what I care more about. I'm already nocturnal. Stop fucking with me. I'll stay up all night. Don't tempt me. If you drop a season at midnight, you better believe I'm not getting sleep that night.
Yeah.
I'm so also obsessed with being the first to know and not having it spoiled for me or whatever it is. If you're going to be rude about it and drop a whole season at midnight, my day is ruined.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to stop. It's like, why can't any of these services drop at 6 on the West Coast?
Apple
9?
Does. Apple does.
I love it. Apple loves me.
Apple Thursday night is the best night in streaming because their Friday shows go up at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
For sure.
Well, and like, I know Amazon Netflix would do that for the
Disney, like especially.
Yeah, they're all Disney. I have read.
Especially you, Disney, you know what you're doing. And
I've read that it's because it's literally like they want to promote worldwide the same day. They want to say like March 19th, this opens globally. So it has to be, if it was earlier, it would be the 18th in the US and not the 19th. And so they don't want to like print two posters.
But aren't they not even launching globally? Aren't a lot of their shows not coming out for months later? I heard it's because their servers can't handle the traction.
Who knows? I did like where HBO, when it was like, I remember this specifically with Lovecraft Country and Game of Thrones and Watchmen, where it would drop on the app when it aired on HBO. So that would be like, for us, West Coast, like 6 p.m.
That still happens the night, the day of.
Good.
Like Gilded Age, when it airs at 9 on the East Coast, you could start streaming it at 6 on the West Coast.
And what is the deal with this FX thing, which I've never, no, not FX, AMC. This AMC thing I've never done, but at the end of every Walking Dead episode, it says,
AMC Plus, I have that.
Yeah, okay, so tell me about that. It says to watch next week's episode, subscribe to AMC Plus. So you're telling me there are people that have a Walking Dead episode a full week before I do?
I actually, AMC Plus, not bad. You can get it through Amazon Channels or as its own standalone service. And AMC, their strategy was, we're not going to make like one big AMC service that's all the things we own. We're going to have a bunch of these like bespoke mini services. So like All Black, which used to be Urban Movie Channel, which is like their version of a BET. And they've got Acorn TV, which is like BBC shows, and Shudder, which is like horror stuff and horror movies. And then after doing this for a while and it was working, they were like, okay, we're going to introduce one more, and it's going to be called AMC Plus, and it's a little bit more expensive than all those others, and it gathers content from all those others plus all the AMC shows. So just like what we were saying for FX on Hulu, if you wanted a library of all the classic AMC shows, your Rescue Me's, your Mad Men's, that's all now in one place. But their added incentive is certain, not every, but selected AMC shows, they actually debut the episodes a week early on the streaming service. So I think it's all The Walking Dead. I think they're doing this with Fear the Walking Dead and World Beyond as well. You can actually watch the episode a week early on AMC Plus, or wait an extra week and watch it air on AMC the channel.
So rude.
And that also kind of tells you where
AMC Plus, if you're interested in like the breadth of all that content, it's not bad because you get you get new Shudder movies and like Creep Show if you wanted to watch that.
What's their price point? Do you remember?
I think I want to say it's like $7.99 a month.
That's
or
not too bad.
A month,
also, is Better Call Saul going to be on there? Because that might make it worth it. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I believe Better Call Saul will stream on the AM. Well, it'll definitely stream, whether it'll do the week early, but I think they are going to do the week early.
Oh, God damn it. Fuck.
The early thing is killing me. I don't want to be behind the way I am.
That's how they get you, Roxy. That's how they get you.
On The Walking Dead, I've given you 13 years of my life.
You would think that it would be a huge issue in terms of spoilers. I haven't seen a lot of people complain about spoilers.
That tells you a lot of where Walking Dead is right now.
Right. You would think with Walking Dead, a spoiler-friendly show, they would have more concerns. But no, it streams a week early for people.
So we're running a little long, but I did want to mention, Lon, when we were talking about this over email, you mentioned the AVOD, ad-supported free streaming sites.
I'm fascinated by this space,
Tubi, Roku, Plex, Vudu, Zumo, Peacock-ish. Again, I got Paramount with it has ads.
Right. Well, there's two levels. There's the free services like Tubi, Roku Channel, where it's like you can watch it for free, but you're gonna watch commercials. Or there's like the Peacock's got one, Paramount's got one. This is what Disney is talking about introducing. Disney's gonna do this later this year, where it's you still pay, but it's cheaper than a main subscription.
I don't like it.
And they compensate by putting in some ads.
If you're giving me ads, I shouldn't have to pay for it.
Fewer ads than you'd get on TV, but still some.
That's how they start you. Fewer ads on TV is where it starts. And then remember, I think, whatever. Wasn't it you pay for cable and it's like, nope, whatever. So how do you think this changes the ecosystem at all?
Well, I think what's so fascinating to me about it is that a lot of these companies, this was not where everybody's heads were at when streaming blew up. Like Netflix kind of defined this market, and it was subscription. You know, it was just like the Netflix mailing you discs model. It was like you sign up and you pay us every month, and then you get access to all this stuff. And that was really where everybody's heads were at for a really long time. And then it was really just that the public embraced this other model. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of the idea was part of the appeal of streaming was that people don't like ads. YouTube's getting interrupted with ads and it bugs people. Pandora, people used to complain about the ads all the time. So I think that the conventional wisdom was it's going to be subscription. It's going to be like what Spotify did to Pandora. People want to get rid of those ads and they want to just hear the content. And I think they were wrong. And there's a huge audience that doesn't want to bother with subscription, or at least – doesn't only want to have subscription services and is willing to watch ads in order to get free content. And I think that, to me, my guess would be that it's a lot of, like, there's a lot of kinds of TV viewing. We tend to think of, like, on the couch, phone down, favorite beverage, following intently your big show, like how Roxy and I watch Severance.
Yeah.
But like, there's also that whole category of I'm doing dishes, I'm doing work, I'm reading, I'm looking at my phone, and there's like TV on.
You're talking about, is it cake?
Is right, it cake? Yeah. All that whole category of content. And I mean, I think that's a lot of what AVOD can sort of come in and satisfy, is that, like, I want something on, I want a feed, I just want Hell's Kitchen playing in the background.
Yeah.
I'm willing to have ads on, I'm not really going to be paying that much attention. And I think that we're seeing there's a lot of interest in that. So this is an exploding market right now, and everybody's kind of fighting over it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think this might be something that does change with, because of where we are at with what we do stuff. Because I know for me, like, I remember I used to have Hulu with ads. And then it's right. Like, wait, I could pay a little bit more and just watch my show. Yes, please. If I decide to stick with Paramount, I would probably do that with them.
I mean, not everybody is that. I think we're finding that there's a lot of us that feel that way. I also feel that way. Ads bug me. I try to get rid of them whenever I can. But I think there's a lot of, and maybe it's age or other demographics, I'm not sure. A lot of Americans or people around the world are now signaling by using these services a lot that they're willing to watch some ads if the cost is cheaper or non-existent. And also, I think there's something to be said for the curation factor, that like having these live streaming channels that are pre-programmed, so I don't have to stop every half hour and pick out what the next thing I want to watch is. I could just put on like Peacock's true crime feed, yeah, or Tubi's 80s action movie feed, and they're just going to come up with the next one when that one ends. I think that's also an appeal for a lot of people.
That makes a lot of sense. Roxy, where do you stand on ads? Would you ever, with all the TV you watch, would you supplement some of your streaming services with ones that you have to pay a little bit less, even though they have ads?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that. You know, like Hulu, forever I had ads. And I don't know what it is. I think this is the side of me that will wear jeans until there's a hole in the crotch, and then I buy a patch and I put the patch there, and then that patch will fall out, and then I will like put laces and try to make a new design, cut them into shorts, wear as shorts instead. The part of me that's like that, if you give me an option that's $5 cheaper a month, and that option just requires me to sit through 60 seconds at a time, I do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that part of me, because as I watch, I'm so resentful. I'm watching, I'm like, fucking ads. Just pop up again.
Fucking ads.
Still there. But I do that. And my siblings will make fun of me for it. And so they'll be like, use my Hulu. Mm-hmm. And because I don't have ads. And I'm like, maybe it was a ploy all along.
Maybe it was a plan.
Yeah. So, but I do that sometimes.
So before we wrap up, Here, this is where we put the rubber to the road. We're going to have to pick in this moment. Roxanne and I discussed this last week. I was going to do one of those, like, this series of streaming services costs $5 and whatever. But then Lon, you brought up the ads thing. Roxy brought up the ads thing, how that brings prices down. So Roxy suggested points, and I'm even lazier than that. I'm just going to make you all pick three of the major streaming services. Pick three that you would keep the rest you lose. This is one of those, you pick three, the rest you lose forever. I'll start. As Roxy pointed out, this includes me. I'll start. I think off the bat, HBO Max, you get all the classic HBO shows. I'm at season 6 of The Sopranos. I'd never seen it before. I've been watching it over the pandemic. I've almost finished it. And so like HBO would be one I would keep forever. I'm going to, and this will be a rule for you all, I'm going to assume that this is just for me. This isn't for my work, stuff I need to watch for work. So I'm going to say Disney Plus is out. Lon, you brought this up. All the FX shows are on Hulu. Some of my all-time favorite shows ever are Hulu shows or FX shows. So Hulu's a keep. We've got HBO and Hulu. And then off of This seems wild, but I think maybe this is like a recency bias or whatever. But based off the strength of what I've been watching on Apple TV, I'd probably keep that. Maybe just because I watched Severance last night and I'm like, what the fuck? So those are my three. My three are HBO, Hulu, and Apple TV.
I'm ready.
Roxy, go.
Yeah. I am similar to you, HBO. If you're telling me this is for the rest of my life, too, it's just I can't be somebody who does not have HBO.
Yeah,
it just isn't my whole soul. Then I'm also keeping Apple TV. As I told you guys, I think they're making the best content right now. It's not that much of it, though.
Yeah.
And so then to try to adjust for the fact that I'm picking two that are more specific, I'm going Netflix.
Even though
I don't think it is, it's not the Netflix it once was. It's still freaking Netflix, and I could still lose years of my life just being on there. Like I'll just stumble onto things forever. And they still do have, sometimes they'll drop something that I'm like, wow, that was one of the greatest shows that we've seen.
Yeah,
and
solid.
It's fun. And it also has what Lon referred to as like the background shows. And everybody needs like a background show network, you know, especially if you live alone. And I'm like, I need voices in the house while I'm cooking. I can't feel like this anymore. Thank you, Netflix, for being my friend, you know?
I think that's a solid combo. Lon, what about you? You got to pick three.
I'm jumping in with everybody else. I think HBO Max is for sure an essential. I got to have the HBO shows. I like the Warner Brothers movies coming there pretty quick. Like, we're going to get the Batman next month on HBO Max.
God,
like, I wouldn't want to miss out on having Dune and the Batman at the ready like that. So I appreciate that. I definitely think Hulu, you got to have Hulu on there. I like the Hulu originals. I like the FX content. I like the movies. I think that's probably the best, most well-rounded service in terms of the variety. And the last one, I can't believe I'm going to hear this come out of my own mouth, because I like a lot of Netflix shows, and I do love Severance. I'm going over to somebody's house to watch Severance, because I'm not
allowed
to be on my
list.
You off. But I do need to see how Severance ends. I'm totally sucked in. But I think for my third one, I would probably go Disney Plus. I think you've got an incredible strength of catalog there. You've got the entire sort of Disney archive to play around with, which is a lot of great shows. And I'm gonna be out, like, I don't want to miss out on all of the new Pixar and MCU and Star Wars content. I don't love all of it. I don't even like some of it, folks. But if you guys were all watching Mandalorian season 3 and I couldn't join in, I would feel really sad and left out in that scenario. I want to see Moon Knight in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I will admit that. So that as much as I enjoy, you know, like some of the stuff that's on Showtime or AMC Plus or some of these other services, like, I think I got to be honest. I would be sad to lose my Disney Plus.
There you go. And I think
Bob Chapek's got me, you know.
I think by default we've determined that HBO is the winner, because all three of us chose it.
HBO and Hulu got a lot of strong support from this group.
Yeah,
I didn't pick Hulu, but that was the hardest one for me.
Yeah, I think those two. I really do believe that. As much good stuff as everybody else is making, like, I do feel like those two are the sort of clearly heads above. And I say that as somebody who I enjoyed the Boys, Diabolical, and Reacher just in the last few weeks. So it's not like there's not good stuff on these other platforms.
Now, before we go, I just want to say Severance, no spoilers, because it is the episode just dropped last night. I am slightly worried that we might be going down like too many mysteries, like too many reveals. I haven't felt it yet, but I'm like, last night's reveal, I'm like, too many?
Lots of reveals, but I think we now have, there was one line of dialogue that I believe we have season one's end game.
Yeah.
We were introduced to, in a few weeks, Patricia Arquette's character, whatever, she's got four names, whatever you call her, I think mostly. She's going to attend the Egan family reunion. That's definitely, that's where season one culminates. And we're going to get some information about what's going on with Keir Egan and the Egan family, the founders of Lumen.
I love how they incorporate
some kind of twist about the nature of the board and the Egan family. And I think that's where we're going to get a big piece of that.
The reptilian people.
The reptilians.
Here's where I started, none of this is spoilers because it's just a guess.
Yeah.
I started off with aliens. I was like, this is some sort of experiment that aliens are conducting. But then with the goats and with the worship, like the sort of religion angle of like these paintings.
I love the religion angle.
Cult of Kier Egan and all this. Now it's like, it feels more like almost Lovecraftian. Like maybe it's a demonic or an infernal thing.
I will also say one, the dance sequence in this episode, the most recent episode, like, God damn it. I was watching, I'm like, this is great. Who directed it?
Music and dance and dance experience.
But it was so well.
It's an MDE, a music dance experience.
Yeah, and it was so well shot. And I'm like, who directed this episode? And it's like, it was Ben Stiller. And I'm like, God damn it. Of course it was. So fucking good. Also, God bless his brother-in-law and his brother-in-law's book, because not only is it an interesting thing to introduce, but it's also the only time the show's made me laugh out loud. And I need that like uplift in because it's such a
We could go so deep on this. Because I feel like there's something wrong.
My focus right now as a woman who has recently got back out into the dating game is what a nightmare. What a dating nightmare this scenario has been. Yeah. I no spoilers, but just imagine trying to date this person. I'm done. I'll never date anybody again. Thinks he's doing what she wants. I was like, nope. Go home. Everybody go home.
Anyway, we should all start our Severance podcast, Severance After Show podcast. Yeah. I also like that you can feel like where the show determined, like, it felt like a mini series. And then, like, about midway point, you could feel like, oh, no, this is an ongoing show. Like, see the switches flip. Yeah.
This is a six season.
Yeah.
There's no solution coming to this anytime soon. What I love is, It really fools you. Like it seems like it's going to be this kind of satire about work and corporate culture and working in an office. And I really thought it was going to be much more of like that, like workplace comedy horror stuff. But it's like, no, it's full on like existential horror.
Yeah,
like,
it is a horror show.
The office is the setting, and it's really just the nightmare of this scenario playing out.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character, each of you?
It's tough because Adam Scott is so fucking good. I think my hero is Helly. I am rooting so hard for Helly, and I relate so hard to Helly, and like her desperate attempt to get the fuck out. I'm like, yeah, go after it, do it, go for it.
Yeah, I love everything with Irving and Bert, Turturro and Christopher Walken. Yeah. Their stuff is just they're both just killing it. They're both so good, and the performances are just absolutely killing it. But I will say, the guy, and I don't know the actor's name, who's playing Mr. Milchick.
Yeah.
The sort of overseer, like Patricia Arquette's second in command, who's kind of, what was it?
Trammell Tillman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy is incredible. And it's like, they've really captured that. What if the only way people communicated to you was like office speak? Like if you never left an office and the only way people would talk to you is like the way your middle manager talks to you when you're an underling. And it's like, it's such a specific nightmare. And that guy taps into that specific tone of voice and those facial expressions that fake smile so well. It's really chilling.
I also like, you know, he gets like attacked in this most recent episode and he's like freaking out. I'm like, you could take this guy. I can see your pecs through your shirt, guy. You could take this guy.
Yeah.
Roxy, who's your favorite?
Him.
But I don't know. I feel like so much of that stuff is like, it was that plan? Like, did he know? He knew that was going to happen. I don't know.
I don't know who my favorite is. Sometimes I think it's Irving. But also it's Helly.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like Dylan too. I think that he's grown on me so much, especially in this episode where he just unleashes the beast. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm tapped.
Yeah, it's a good show. I also like the casting of Christopher Walken. It's like, hey, how do we get the audience to think that maybe this guy is a threat? And it's like, well, let's cast Christopher Walken and then you'll just be suspicious of him immediately.
Do you guys think we get him for more than season one?
I think, I think that you leave it dangling like that because then he can come back at any time.
It turns out he is Kier, and that's why.
I mean, I do think on some level, Kira is still alive in some way. Mm-hmm. Like he's being preserved cryogenically, or he's in his consciousness is in a computer, something, or he's a reptilian. Yeah, something. There's some connection with the board and why we don't know the nature of the board.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we're not going to get all the answers, but I think the season one finale, like that's how they'll get us on the hook for season.
How many episodes do we have?
I think two. I think it's a 9-episode season.
Yeah, I think two or three left.
Yeah,
I need more.
So let's. We need to wrap it up, Lon. We'll let you go. Before we go, remind the kids at home where they can find you and what you're up to.
Oh, find me on Twitter at LONS. That's the best place to do it. Subscribe or find Binge Boys, the podcast. How Rudnick and I do. It's very much like this. It's exactly like it. Just if Roxy and DJ were Hal Rudnick instead of themselves, this would basically have been our podcast. And then also, I do a newsletter about streaming TV, inside.com/streaming. That's free. That's 5 days a week. It's got a calendar of what's new. It's occasionally got reviews, and it's got all the news. So like the trailers, and here's this casting update. And so help keep all this stuff straight.
Hell yeah. Check that out. You can follow this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
I'm at DJ Talks Trash. Roxy is at Roxy Stryer. We'll see you all next week where we'll be talking about Moon Knight and Morbius. Yay! We'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.